Our scripture passage this morning is from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 1 to 9. Please turn in your Bibles there or follow with me along in this, on the screen behind me. Let us hear the word of the Lord, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. This morning we are continuing our study of the book of 2 Peter. This book was written by the apostle Peter to Christian believers. And Peter, of course, one of those passionate followers of Christ we learned so much about in the Gospels. And in his opening remarks back in chapter 1, we learn that he addresses this letter to those who received a faith as precious as ours. And so as we continue in this study together, we're at chapter 3 now, but we need to remember not only that it's Peter writing, Peter the Apostle, but also he is writing to believers in Jesus Christ. He is writing to people who had heard the gospel message and had received it and had become saved because of it. So his audience are men and women, children and young people who had faith in Christ, who were followers of Jesus. And when you think about who he writes to, you realize again that there is no relationship of greater importance than to know and be in relationship with God. That's the number one relationship. And this is why God gave us Christ. And Jesus is the only one who can save us and make us right before God. And for those of you who are here that have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when Jesus said, "Come, follow me," when he said, "Come, follow me, Brett," when he said, "Come, follow me, Karen," he meant it for life. He meant it for every day of your life, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all week long, all day long. Pursuing your relationship with Christ is to be the highest priority in your life. Is it always? And that's a conversation that we can have all week long. What gets in the way? What derails our faith walk? And a major theme in 2 Peter is his challenge to believers to never stop growing in this faith that you have in Christ. Each of us who believe and trust in the Lord have this precious faith that Peter introduces us to at the beginning of this letter, this precious faith which accomplishes so much in our lives. It's a wondrous gift from God that requires growing and building. And part of growing and building up your faith is, of course, recognizing when there is error, when there is false teaching, when thoughts come through your mind or you hear teaching that doesn't line up with the Bible. We need to put on the brakes and have anything to do with it. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, which we looked at last time, Peter, he spent this whole chapter talking about the threat and dangers of false teaching and false teachers. Peter was very aware that this was something that was derailing a lot of faith for people who trusted in Jesus back then and even does today. Christians must always be on guard and alert to teaching that is not biblical. And there is a lot of doctrine being taught in our world today, and even in the church, that is not sound doctrine. And Pastor Lana referenced to sound doctrine last Sunday. You know, and we find this word actually in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, where Paul charges Titus, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. And such a mandate that Paul gave Titus makes it obvious that sound doctrine is important. And you might be wondering, well, what is sound doctrine? Well, according to one definition, sound doctrine is teaching from God, about God, that directs us to the glory of God. God is the ultimate teacher of Christian doctrine. And so Peter addresses in chapter 2 false teaching in the church because of the need and importance of biblical truth and for us as believers to be in discernment always, knowing when there is error before us being taught, even in the church. False teaching can derail a Christian's life. And in this letter, Paul calls on believers to stand firm in their faith in Christ, to trust in the truth of God's word and his promises. Now, Peter, again, was dealing with a group of people in his day who denied specifically the second coming of Christ. And in chapter 2, verse 1, Peter says of them, they deny Christ. And in chapter 3, verse 4, we learn today that they rejected the teaching of the coming rule and reign of Christ and his judgment over all. And so in chapter 3, Peter teaches us about the message and nature of these false teachers. Well, he calls them also scoffers against God's word and how we should live godly lives in these last days. Now let's look at chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 as we go through this letter together. And so again, in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Here in verse 1, we learn that one of Peter's goals in this letter is to stir up their minds to wholesome thinking. And in order to do this, he asked them to remember and to recall. And both of these words point to the importance of going back to what you were taught by the apostles, what you were taught by the prophets of old. And both of these, again, words remind us that we all need to be reminded of the truth because we forget. We forget. And Peter is saying for you to think right, for you to have wholesome thinking, you need to keep going back to God's word, spoken by the holy prophets and by the commands of Jesus, spoken through the apostles, of which he is, of course, central and an important apostle. The important things, the most important things we need to be reminded of over and over again. That's so true. But what is wholesome thinking? When I read that in this study, I certainly paused to consider, well, what's that and what's the difference between wholesome and unwholesome thinking that Peter is getting at? What you think is crucial to what you become in life. And Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. To learn to think rightly about the world begins with the Word of God and allowing the Word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to shape your thought life. So wholesome thinking, you can basically understand and know, is Christ-centered thinking. Okay? Romans 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Be renewed daily by the word of God. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so to think wholesomely, which God is calling every believer to, in order for that to happen, we must be filled with the scriptures and with the Holy Spirit. We are to hear the word of God and to do it. In the scriptures, God is speaking to us personally that we may conform to the image of Christ. In the scriptures, God is speaking to us personally, teaching us and rebuking us, at times correcting us, comforting us, encouraging us, training us in righteousness, and reminding us to obey him. The Bible says the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, Acts 2, verse 42. We learn this about the birth of the early church. That was key to their gatherings. And in Peter and said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. I love being part of a church where there is prayer and the ministry of God's word. In fact, that's the only church I'll ever be part of. And I hope you feel the same way. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And it comes as no surprise to this group that in this church we preach the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must obey God's word. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. John 15, verse 7. Jesus also said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so in verse 2 of chapter 3 here, Peter is encouraging his readers to remember the word of God spoken by the holy prophets, a reference to the Old Testament writers, and also the commands given by our Savior and Lord through the apostles that Paul taught and Peter taught. And as opposed to the false teachings of chapter 2, now the holy prophets, they foretold the coming rule and reign of the Messiah. Peter is saying, in effect, do you want to develop wholesome thoughts? Well, then let God's word shape your thoughts. Learn to think like the prophets thought. Look at the life that the way Jesus taught us to live. Live the way the apostles' teachings teach us how to live. Again, wholesome thinking that Peter addresses in chapter 3, verse 1 here is about God's word. And a great habit to practice each and every day is to open the Bible and read a section and meditate on it and pray on it. And this will certainly stir up your mind to wholesome thinking. And it will focus your heart on what truly matters. Another great practical thing to do, other than, of course, reading your Bible, is talking with other believers what God is teaching you. I love that part about our small groups when we meet. We go around and we share, what has God taught you in this last week as you have been reading his word and walking with him? But perhaps you can get a Bible app, or perhaps you can get on a Bible reading plan. Carry a pocket-sized Bible or Gospel of John in your car. We have lots of those here if you ever want somewhere to pass those out. So if that's what wholesome thinking is, Christ-like thinking, what is unwholesome thinking? Well, of course, the false teachers, the scoffers that we learn about in this passage, they represent unwholesome thinking. But unwholesome thinking is thinking that is ungodly, sinful, in error, wrong, against God, against God's word. It is a mind that is shaped by worldly wisdom and driven by evil desires. And God, you know, he wants us to guard all the gates into our mind and allow only wholesome thinking. And if your thinking is wholesome, then your life will be wholesome. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, Paul encourages believers to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And you will have many thoughts just sitting here listening to me this morning. Thoughts that have nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, if we're honest, right? But I love that passage from Paul because it reminds us again that every thought that we have is important to God and that we make it obedient to Christ. For if we control our thinking, then our ways will truly be guided by the Lord into the ways of righteousness and to the ways of blessing. But again, the false teachers Peter warns against, they represent unwholesome thinking. And Peter urged his readers to wholesome thinking. Stir up your minds. And particularly about the Lord's return. Now, let me read to you verses 3 to 4. First of all, you must understand, Peter is saying, that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And so Peter is saying that there were and are today scoffers. These are people who mock God's word. And in this passage, Peter tells us that they will come in the last days. And the last days began right after Jesus ascended into heaven. We are living in the last days. And specifically, Peter tells us these scoffers rejected that Jesus will come again. And that Jesus will rule. And that we will all be judged. And Christ will set up his kingdom. And now a scoffer is someone who, again, treats lightly what should be taken seriously. And you know, the day of the Lord, his return and judgment is something that we cannot take lightly. It should be, in fact, influence how we live each and every day. And why did these false teachers take so lightly something that should be taken so seriously? Well, verse 3 tells us. And verse 3 tells us that for these scoffers, they wanted to live for temporary pleasures. Anything that would speak of the judgment of God, the coming of Christ, anything that would hold them accountable to their immoral behavior, they rejected. They didn't want to have anything to do with that. In fact, they wanted to write it out of Scripture, and that's why they were such a corrupting presence in the church. And that was their motive. Listen, it is a heavy thing to truly recognize that there is a God enthroned in heaven who created me and I am responsible to. And mankind rebels against this knowledge. Mankind rejects that knowledge and wants to put that knowledge away. Not recognizing that the one who created us is the one who offers us redemption and the one before whom we will all have to answer one day, it's in our sinful nature to push that knowledge away. We rebel against that. And these scoffers, these mockers that Peter addresses, they were doing just that. But what was the basis for these scoffers? What is the basis of their belief? Well, verse 4 gives us that answer. Again, these scoffers base their message on the idea that, well, nothing's ever changed. Jesus is never coming because, well, their error in thinking was because he hasn't come yet. They base their rejection on the coming of Christ on a general belief in this unchanging nature of the world. And their message was, well, where is the coming of Jesus? Everything is going to go as it has, is what they thought. They always have been and they always will be. But listen to how Peter responds to that line of thinking, to that unwholesome thinking in verses 5 to 7. He says, but they deliberately forget. Those two words are very important. We'll come back to them. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. In verse 5, Peter shows them the error of their thinking. He says they deliberately forget God's word and what God has already done in creation history. Remember, these false teachers, they wanted to push the truth of God's word in the past, present, and future aside for their own immoral behavior, for their own evil desires. They rejected the truth. And the general meaning of verses 5 to 7 is clear enough. Peter shows us why these false teachers are wrong in thinking that everything goes on as it has since the beginning, because it hasn't. And so Peter points back to show how God has intervened in human history. First, Peter notes that God created the world. And so we have that reference to creation through his world, through his word. But then that God destroyed the world through water. And by the same word, God will destroy the world again, this time by fire in the future. So Peter warns these false teachers that judgment is coming. There is an end, whether you believe it or not. Now again, the false teaching, these false teachers, these scoffers were in error that the world has never and will never change. This was, again, their unwholesome thinking. But we must realize people will believe. Hear me now. People will believe whatever they want as long as they can live however they wish. The mindset is this. I'm going to believe only in what will allow me to live however I want. And I will reject anything that does not allow me to live the way I want to live. And so what's so wrong about this is that people will go through the Bible, and if they come across something that says, this doesn't support my life, I'm just going to tear it out. Or I'm not going to believe it. I'm just going to just pretend it's not there. And of course, that is not a godly mindset. This is not wholesome thinking. It's not from the Holy Spirit. It's not from God. It is unwholesome. Again, Peter says in verse 5, they deliberately forget. Or another way put, they willfully forget. See, they turned their backs on a truth from God that was so self-evident. God keeps his promises. God will do just as he says he will do. But they didn't believe that. And they willfully disobeyed God's word. And by deliberately forgetting, they were rebelling against God, our Creator. So these scoffers were trying to get these believers to lose faith and doubt God's word, the truthfulness of God's word. That's why Peter addresses it. But God keeps his word. His word is true. Jesus is coming back one day. There will be an end to this world, and you will and I will one day stand before a holy God to give an account of what we did with what God gave us. Now, the thing we need to remember first and foremost in looking for the return of Christ is this: God is not on our timetable. He is not late. The Lord will be right on time, his time. And so that's where we get to verse 8 to 9, because then Peter goes on to talking about this coming of Christ and what we need to know about it. Verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And here Peter is simply saying what seems to us like a long time is really a short time to God. And Peter quotes Psalm 90 verse 4 here, and we're reminded here, again, God is eternal and he is not bound by time. God is in the past, he's in the present, and he is in the future always. Try and wrap your mind around that. God is everywhere in space and everywhere in time. So this is the general principle here that Peter is teaching us here in verse 8. He is not giving us a formula to somehow figure out when and what God is going to do in the future. So in God's perfect timing, Jesus will return. In God's perfect timing, the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men will arrive. But in verse 9, we learn again why that hasn't happened yet. There is a compassionate purpose in God's timing. What does verse 9 say? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And this is the verse we're going to end on today. God is not willing that anyone will perish. God wants to see as many people saved as possible. God wants all to come to repentance, and this is why Christ's return has not been sooner. Think about it. Jesus wants his will for your life, and his will for your life is repentance, turning to God, trusting in God to be your Savior, seeking his ways. God is patiently giving the world time to repent. Just as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth, as we have sung about this morning already, is that Jesus saves. Scoffers may scoff, doubters may doubt, unbelievers will ignore, but Jesus Christ is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth, and he is coming again, and the Lord will be right on time, his time. So until then, let us stand on God's word. Let us live and love like Jesus. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit and serve one another.